You know, the last few messages, we've looked at kind of the broken state that the world is in. We've been talking about how it seems that things have just kind of gone crazy lately. I mean, the COVID-19 shutdown, riots in the streets, violent crime is up. Debbie went to the chiropractor earlier this week, and there was a lady in the waiting room there. She'd immigrated here to the U.S. from England, and she was moaning about how crazy things had gotten up here in this country. She was just wondering, what happened to my new country? This is terrible. And at one point, she told Debbie, she said, you know what I think this is? I think this is spiritual warfare. That's what's going on around here. And Debbie kind of held her hand up and said, you're preaching to the choir, meaning I agree with you. This is spiritual warfare. And we've been talking about that. The last three messages, we talked about how the church has got to wake up and get engaged in this spiritual warfare. The Lord gave us four specific things that He wanted us to do to engage in the warfare that's gripping the earth. And we concentrated on what to do to combat the evil that's in the earth now, and how to pray, and most of that, what we talked about, was spending time in our prayer closet. But what about after the lockdowns? I mean, what's the Lord calling the church to do once we have seen some spiritual victories? Are we just supposed to go back to sleep? I don't think so. What are the prophets saying right now about these weird times that we're in? You know, mostly what I've been hearing is that the Lord wants to accomplish a great awakening after the lockdowns. And that means people getting saved all over the world. Now, I don't think the prophets are talking about the church waking up. I think the prophets are talking about what does God want to do after the church has awakened, after we've been locked down mostly in intercessory prayer warfare. I think that's what the Lord is looking for in this great awakening. And, you know, what comes next to bring this great awakening into the earth? Well, the Lord gave me a vision a couple of weeks ago that I think addresses this transition period when we're going to be coming out of the basement of lockdown, and we're going to be going out into the world. And I'm calling this vision Out of the Basement. There are two parts to the vision. One, we're in a basement, and the question is, well, what are we doing there? And then the second part is, what do we do when we go out of the basement? And so this is what we're going to do today. I'm going to describe to you the vision that I had, and I'm going to tell you what I think the vision means. And there are things here that this vision calls us to do. But the Lord made it clear to me that I don't have the full revelation on this vision. He's going to reveal some things to you individually for you to think about. What are you supposed to be doing? What does this vision mean to you? There are things that I couldn't see. There are things that are not necessarily for me. And so as I describe the vision, what I think it means, then this is my prayer for you, that the Lord will open your eyes and ears so you can hear the Holy Spirit telling you what this means to you and what He wants you to do as a result of this vision. So let me tell you the vision. We're all gathered together in a big, well-lit basement. It reminds me of the basement of a good-sized church. It was full of Christians from our church, from the prayer line, Christians that I didn't even recognize. And we were all so excited because we'd been in the basement a long time, and today was the day that we get to leave the basement. And Jesus was at the door of the basement, and as each person would come by to leave, He would lay His hand on their shoulder, He would smile at them, and He would give them a word of encouragement of some kind. And I knew three things about this basement experience. One was, we were in the basement primarily because of COVID-19. In other words, this is describing this lockdown that we're in. Some were there maybe because of wars that were going on around the world or rioting in their area, but it's mostly COVID-19. It was like a pause button had been hit in our lives. The second thing I knew that was that it had been this time in the basement had been a time of training and refreshing, and it was a time of preparing for what was going to come after the basement experience. And then the third thing I knew was that we were going to be sent out from the basement to facilitate the great awakening in the world. I could see that every one of those basement people, as they went out, there was a circle of light around them. It was like there was a light shining from above them, and it shone down around them, and it created a circle of light around them. This circle of light was about 6 feet in diameter. And as these people got free of the basement and they started walking around, you know, among other people, other folks would come into that circle of light surrounding them. And whenever they got into that circle of light, God would touch those people in some way. Now, some people embraced God's touch and some people rejected it. They actually recoiled from God's touch. So that's the vision. Now, let's look at this in the two parts. One is we're in the basement. What's that for? And the second is going out to bring the great awakening. God needs an army of powerful laborers to bring about this great awakening, I think. And where are they going to come from? Well, the great awakening that we're expecting is about people getting saved. How are people going to get saved unless somebody brings Jesus to them? If our experience serving God is dead and lifeless, then why would anybody ever want to be part of the kingdom of God? We need to walk out of the basement to bring Jesus to people. We need to do this with an active, living relationship with Jesus that has power behind it. Listen, for us to be the laborers that help bring the great awakening, we must first be revived ourselves. We normally think of revival as, well, we're going to have a series of church services. Maybe it's a crusade. Maybe it's a camp meeting, whatever you want to call it. And there'll be a lot of preaching, a lot of shouting, lots of dancing. Maybe there'll be a couple of miracles. Maybe somebody will get saved. And then when it's over, we'll all pat ourselves on the back about, whoa, what a powerful time that was, and go about our business. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about revival. For the great awakening, I'm talking about that we first have to be truly revived. We Christians, we need to be brought back into fullness of life so that we can walk in the power of God. One of the things that's always amazed me is how economical God is. And I know he's going to do that with this lockdown situation. You know, when he does something, he doesn't just do it for one person. It's like he does one thing and it affects the lives of all kinds of folks around. Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, and we're going to look at verse 28. Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." God works all things for good for his children. How can God do that? How can he always work all things for our good? I don't know how he does it, but I know it's so. And, you know, God can always take a bunch of lemons and make lemonade. That's what he wants to do with his lockdown experience that we're in. He wants to transform his church during the lockdown. I know that many listening to me still have their jobs. Some of you actually are working more hours now than you were working before the lockdown. But even so, we're still limited in what we can do. A lot of churches can't have services at all, or they're having services in limited ways. We're certainly not getting on airplanes and jetting around the country and going off to ministry trips. We don't eat out as much. We certainly don't go to the movies. Matter of fact, when Debbie wants to go to the gym, she has to go to another state. I heard a recent survey that said on average, during the lockdown, people have gained 5 pounds per person. Why is that? Because we're not doing anything. We're locked down. So God wants to use this time of lockdown to perform a miracle of revival in our lives. This is the basement experience that he showed me. We're all in a period of pause. It's a forced period of waiting. And I think God wants us to take this time to wait on him, listening. He wants us to take this time to grow deeper in the Lord. He wants us to become more sensitive to hearing the Holy Spirit. This is a perfect time for that. And I think that he wants us to become more intimate with him during this time of quietness, this pause. What specifically should we do during this time of pause? Well, this is one of the places where you're going to have to seek God about just what it is that he wants you to do while you're in the basement, while you're paused. One of the things we can do, of course, we can always do this. We can supersize our devotional times. We can spend more time reading the Bible. We can spend more time listening to good teaching sermons about hearing God, about the power of God, those kinds of things. We can do fasting and prayer. That's always a good thing to do. We can soak in the presence of God and worship and in praise. We can just sit and wait on the Lord. Turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, or Isaiah, depending on where you're from, Isaiah 40 and verse 31. You know what? There was somebody listening was looking for this scripture the other day, and you couldn't find it. Well, here it is, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be tired. They will walk and not become weary. If anything describes revival or bringing us into fullness of life, this scripture does. Mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not get tired. Walk and not become weary. Whatever you do during this time of pause, it'll be a good thing to do. But make sure that you're listening to the Holy Spirit about what to do to bring you into this place of revival. Which ones do you hear the Holy Spirit drawing you to in this case? Now, let me tell you what the Lord said that he's calling me to do during this pause, okay? He wants me to grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. And let me tell you how I heard this. As you know, I fast regularly. Usually on Monday, for example, I fast completely all day long. That means I have nothing but water and a couple of cups of decaf coffee during the day. Sunday night, I have my normal dinner meal, and then I don't eat anything at all until breakfast time on Tuesday morning. And so right after I received this vision, I did a Monday fast. And while I was fasting, I reminded the Lord, you know, why I was fasting. I'm fasting for two main reasons. One, I want to humble myself before him. I want to put myself in a place that I can better yield to him. And then number two, I want to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Matthew 17. And these are good things, right? Matthew 17. We want to humble ourselves before God, operate in more power. Look at starting in verse 20. This is the story where the man brings his demon-possessed son to the disciples, and they can't cast the demon out. Jesus comes along and does. And then the disciples come to him and say, well, Lord, why couldn't we do that? And so we pick up Jesus' response here in Matthew 17:20. He says, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move here, from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Then he says, but this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. So that's one of the things I'm praying and fasting for, is so I'll have more power in the Holy Spirit. And so as I felt a hunger pain, one of many that afternoon, I reminded the Lord about how I was fasting so I could have more power. And you know what? It was like I could feel the Lord standing there looking at me, and he was shaking his head no. And I thought, well, just a minute. I'm in a place of great piety here. I'm fasting. I'm praying for more power. What's wrong with that? And this is what I heard the Lord say. I want you to listen to this. Matter of fact, I want you to write this down. He said, power flows from intimacy. Power flows from intimacy. And in a flash of revelation, I realized that the fasting and prayer was not so I could operate in more Holy Spirit power. Fasting and prayer was so I could develop a deeper relationship with Jesus. You know, in this place of intimacy, then, I would be able to operate in more power. In this place of intimacy, I'd be able to hear and I'd be able to feel his heart of compassion for the least, the lost, the lonely. If I'm really intimate with him, then I'm going to hear his voice revealing truths and wisdom to me that I can't get in any other place. I'm going to relax more. I'm going to relax and I'm going to move out of the way and I'm going to let him move more freely through me. I'd be more settled with him, with who I am in him, and I'm gonna let his love and his acceptance for me allow me to move in him. And then from that place of intimacy, the power of the Holy Spirit's gonna flow freely. Well, anyway, so as I was preparing this message, the Lord gave me an illustration about this kind of intimacy, and I hope you don't mind, Mom. He told me something about you that I think fits this perfectly. He showed me Pastor Jane in Arizona, whom I call Mom. He said, Mom, what you and he are doing together is you're great warriors. You put on the armor of God, both of you do, and then you go out and you do battles together in prayer. And then he said something that I thought was kind of funny. He said, you know what? If we were worldly soldiers after a day of fighting, we'd go out drinking and picking fights and singing loud songs. But we're not worldly soldiers. So what we do is we walk together in intimacy. And this is what I heard the Lord said. He said, I love to show you the beauty of my creation. I love to show you a beautiful sunset or sunrise or cactus or a flower. And then he said something else that I don't quite understand. He said, I love to show you the works of men's hands who have been anointed by me. And I don't know if that means architecture or homemade furniture or art or whatever it is, but it's when God anoints someone to create something beautiful, the Lord likes to show that to you. Well, anyway, so what the Lord said to me about Pastor Jane, about Mom, reminded me of intimate moments that Debbie and I share together sometimes. You know, one of us will notice a beautiful sunset that we call to the other one, hey, come out here on the porch and take a look at this. And if she calls me out to the porch to see a sunset, I don't just stick my head out the door and say, oh yeah, that's pretty, and then go back inside. You know, I come out on the porch, I put my arm around her, we stand there for a few minutes soaking up the beauty, and we enjoy each other's company. Now, maybe we don't do that all the time, but there are times like that. Well, while the world is shut down, while we're shut up in this basement, let's find time for intimacy with our Lord. Let's find ways to enjoy his presence, his blessings. Let's put on some praise music and just soak in his presence. You know, let's fast and pray for intimacy. Let's do prayer walks if we want to. But do something that puts you and Jesus in a quiet place together, because out of that intimacy that's developed in the basement will come the power that God needs for us to bring the great awakening in the world. So let's look at coming out of the basement and walking in the world. I saw people who had come out of the basement and they were walking among other people. And it was like the people from the basement had this light shining over their head, and it was creating a, a circle of light around them. Like I said, it was about 6 feet in diameter. And it got me thinking about several things at once. I'm going to give you three data points, and then I'm going to try to bring them together. The first one is that we have Jesus living inside of us. That means that Jesus goes everywhere we go. The Spirit of Jesus is available to touch anyone who gets near us. So data point number one is we make the Spirit of God near to people that we get around. Okay, turn to John 6, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 44, for the second data point. Jesus says this, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." No one can come to know Jesus unless the Father draws him. People don't come to salvation because they have some kind of intellectual process. It's not like they hear a great argument, a great logic, overwhelming argument that says this is what you ought to do, and then they decide to serve God and they become born again. You know, coming to salvation happens in the spirit of a man. Yes, our minds have to be involved. But if only our mind thinks it's a good idea to serve God, we're going to still be heathens. Okay, like John 6:44 says, people only get saved when the Father draws their spirit. The Father, through the Holy Spirit, which in the Bible is sometimes called the Spirit of Jesus. It's this, the Spirit of God has to touch somebody, has to speak to their spirit in order for them to come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. And so that's data point number two. The Spirit of God has to draw someone to salvation. And then number three, it seems to me like physical proximity is important in the spirit world for some reason. I'm amazed at how many times Jesus touched somebody to heal them. Let's look at one of those situations. Turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke 8. I'm going to go down, pick up the story in 43. Jesus is actually on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. And there are a bunch of people following him. And along the way, we know the story of the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. And she reaches out and she touches Jesus' garment. In verse 45 of Luke 8, Jesus asked the question, "Who touched me?" Well, you know, Peter says, "Look, there are people all around you. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you right now." And Jesus said, in verse 46, he said, "No, someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." When the woman touched Jesus' cloak, she was instantly healed, and Jesus felt that power flowing from his body, his physical body, into hers. And so something physical happened through touch. And if we continue on down with the story, we get to verse 55, where let's start in verse 52, where Jesus arrives at Jairus' house. Everybody's weeping and wailing. He says, "Stop crying. She's not dead. She's asleep." Of course, they start making fun of her. They know she's dead. And so he took the girl by the hand and he said, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned and she got up immediately. And it was in touching her that her spirit came back. So the girl wasn't healed until Jesus touched her. Now look, I know you asked the question, is it absolutely necessary to touch someone for God's power to be transferred to them? Well, no, it's not. In Luke 7, go back one chapter, and in the first 10 verses, we see the story of the centurion that has a slave that he wants to be healed. And he asks Jesus to heal the slave. Jesus says, "Okay, I'll come over there." And he goes, no, you don't have to come. Just send your word and it'll be enough. And sure enough, we see in verse 10, "And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Well, let me show you what that principle is. Turn back to Isaiah. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. It's the principle of God sending his word to accomplish something. And it doesn't involve touch. So will my word go forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So we know that God can send his word in to heal someone. We do this all the time over the phone, sometimes over text. We send a word of healing to someone. Sometimes God will wake me up in the middle of the night, and that's my prayer. In the name of Jesus, I send the word of healing to this person. And we know that they can get well. But it seems to me like the preferred method of healing is a physical touch, because we just see that over and over and over again in the Word. So that's data point number three, is that God's preferred method of healing seems to be through physical touch. So, and I want to try to put all these three data points together, and I know you're going to think this is a little weird, but I think this idea is what the Lord was trying to show me in this vision. The circle of light surrounding each believer represents the Spirit of God that fills each one of us. And the size of the circle shows how close we need to get to other people so that they can feel God's presence and be touched by the Spirit of God. And, you know, one of the things I do during street ministry, I love to do this, is to let people that I'm ministering to feel the presence of God. I prayed many times for people to feel God's presence, and almost without exception, the Lord will touch them. Let me give you an example. I was with a friend some time ago ministering in Dallas, Texas, and we decided to go out about midnight on a Saturday night, and we went down to what they call Deep Elm Street. It's on Elm Street, and it is not the nicest part of town. Matter of fact, the police had warned us that there were bicycle gangs of 10 to 12-year-olds going around cutting people and robbing them. And so it didn't take long before one of those gangs found us, and they said, "Hey, what you doing on my street?" And we say, "Well, we're healing people and we're telling them about Jesus." And they said, "Well, we don't believe in that Jesus stuff, and you're going to have to leave." Now, they got right up in our faces, and in no uncertain terms, they let us know they weren't interested in Jesus. And I felt like this is the time that that they're about to attack us. And they were certainly within our 6-foot radius of the circle of light. And so I said, "Okay, I'm going to pray that you can feel the presence of God." And man, I just closed my eyes and prayed a short prayer that they would feel the presence of God. And after about 30 seconds, I opened my eyes, and all of them, instead of a circle right around us, they had fallen back. They were about 10 feet away from us. Their eyes were wide. Their mouths were open. And I said, "Well, did you feel the presence of God?" "Man, I don't know what we felt, but it was something." And they all got on their bikes and they took off. It reminded me of in John 18, when the crowd comes after Jesus and they're going to take him off for a crucifixion. And he says, "Who are you looking for?" And they say, "We're looking for Jesus." He said, "It's me." And when he says that, they all fall back. It kind of reminded me of that. So listen, when you get around someone, you bring the very presence of God with you. You bring the very Spirit of Jesus, the Son of God, right up next to them. Let's be aware of that phenomena and let's put it to good use, okay? Now I'm going to make a wild speculation here, and don't leave me on this, okay? What if the coronavirus socialing distance 6 feet requirement, what if that's actually a plot of the enemy to keep us far away from folks, far enough away that they can't actually be touched by the Spirit of God in us? Now, I know that sounds like crazy conspiracy theory stuff, and you're going to expect me to tell you to wear a tinfoil hat next. But I just can't get away from the picture that I saw in that vision. The circle of light around us was about 6 feet wide, and anyone that came within that circle got touched by God in some way. Part of what we're supposed to do outside the basement is to bring the Great Awakening. And I think we're going to do that by mixing and mingling with people and looking for opportunities to get within this 10-foot circle of light and then let the Holy Spirit lead us, maybe to do some kind of miracle in their lives. I saw a woman in the grocery store the other day. She looked very sad. And I just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit. So I came up to her and I said, "You look very sad today." And she told me she'd lost her mother that week. And I asked if it'd be okay if I prayed for her. She said yes. I touched her shoulder very lightly, prayed a simple prayer, asked God to comfort her and be with her. And when I finished praying, I opened my eyes. She was crying. She said, "I really felt the love of God when you prayed for me. I brought the Spirit of God to her that day." Now, I asked her if Jesus lived in her heart, and she said yes, she's born again, Jesus was her Savior. I saw her later in the store, and she smiled at me real big. You know, we've done the same kind of thing. We've watched God heal people in the middle of stores. By the way, when the store clerk hands me the receipt, I try my best to make sure that my fingers touch her fingers, and I pray a quick silent prayer for them. You know, standing in line at the grocery store, I violate the 6 foot rule for at least long enough to get closer to folks. They may not know it. I get a little closer to them and pray for them, and then I'll back off. You know, when the Church of Jesus Christ has been revived, is in revival, guess what's going to happen? Everywhere a member of the church goes, the power of God is going to be manifested and the love of God will be manifested. Some will be healed, others will be touched in others' ways. And for those who are ready, they'll listen to the Holy Spirit drawing them and they'll be brought into the kingdom of God. So in conclusion, during the COVID-19 lockdowns, we Christians are stuck in the basement. Jesus wants to make us use that time in the basement to grow closer to Him and to grow in our ability to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to use this time to wait on Him until we're really revived, brought to life in Him, until our walk with Jesus is so natural and so full that we'll know that we can do all things in Christ Jesus. When the time comes for us to venture out of the basement, we need to remember that our mission will be to bring Jesus to everybody and every circumstance so that the Holy Spirit can do miracles for people and so that the Father can draw them into the kingdom of God. As we let people into our circle of light, they're going to be touched by the power of God. And their salvation is going to be counted as part of the Great Awakening that started in 2020. Amen.